إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، أرحب بكم أبنائي وبناتي، نواصل هذه الدروس المباركة. I welcome you, my dear sons and daughters, and of course whoever that may listen to this, inshallah ta'ala, this class afterward, you're all welcome. And this class is, the third class, الدرس الثالث من دروس شرح الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة. The third class from the classes of the explanation of important lessons for every Muslim by our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala. اليوم الثلاثاء 23 من صفر لعام 33 و 400 و 1000. The date January 17th, 2012. Now we're going to take the first pillar of Islam, because yesterday we talked about Islam in general, what it means, alhamdulillah, and the pillars of Islam in general. Now we're going to go into some details. The first pillar of Islam is Ash-Shahadatain, meaning to bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. طيب صلى الله عليه وسلم. To bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. This is the correct way to say it. In some books you may see or hear there is no God but Allah. No, that's incorrect. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah. That's the correct meaning of La ilaha illallah. Not just there is no God but Allah. There is no God worthy of worship. There is no deity worthy of worship. Or none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. طيب. Here is an outline of our discussion regarding the first pillar of Islam. Number one, a discussion about La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Okay, that's number one. And under this, you will find A, the meaning of La ilaha illallah. B, what it means to bear witness to La ilaha illallah. C, its status, the status of La ilaha illallah. D, its virtues, meaning the virtues of La ilaha illallah. E, the pillars of the two testimonies. F, the conditions of La ilaha illallah. And finally, its effects. So this is meaning. Now the Shaykh is giving us what we going to take in this chapter, this small chapter, the first pillar, but especially here, La ilaha illallah. As for the meaning of La ilaha illallah, this is a phrase of Tawheed. Tawheed is Islamic monotheism. This phrase of Islamic monotheism, of Tawheed, and inshallah ta'ala, later on in coming classes, we're going to talk about Tawheed and what he means Tawheed, the importance of Tawheed, the virtues of Tawheed, the importance of Tawheed in our lives, and the aspects of Tawheed. Okay? InshaAllah. It's going to come in the coming classes. So this phrase, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. This phrase of Tawheed contains many lofty meanings and implications. Contains many lofty meanings and implications. And we must first understand those meanings if we are to apply them. Okay, it's only important. And that's obvious, like they say. How are you going to apply something but you don't know how it works? You don't know what it means. Okay? So we must first understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah if we were to apply its implications. That way, our application of the phrase will be based on knowledge. See, knowledge is very important. If you know something, alhamdulillah, you have certainty. For instance, when they pour you some milk, alhamdulillah, you drink it. You say bismillah and drink, because you see it, you know what is milk. You have knowledge of milk, what is milk look like. But if somebody pour anything for you and tell you close your eyes and drink it, this is milk, would you drink, Idris? Will you drink it, Abdullah? It depends. If the person who's telling you, mashallah, you trust them, especially your father, mother, because they don't want no bad for you, you drink. But if somebody you don't know, you're like, no, I gotta see, I gotta have knowledge, see if it's milk or not, okay? Likewise, there are people, Muslims, who they say La ilaha illallah, but they don't know what it means. They don't know its true meaning, that's why they do a lot of things that is not right. They do things that is not good. They call upon a human being dead in the graves. They call upon trees and stones, the moon, the sun, angels, prophets. And they say La ilaha illallah. Why they make these mistakes and they fall into these errors? Because they don't know the meanings, the true meanings of La ilaha illallah. The phrase La ilaha illallah has been mentioned in the Quran more than 30 times. More than 30. 30 times. Now here is a question. What it means to bear witness to La ilaha illallah? Okay? To bear witness. The none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What it means? It means to inform about something that you know of, and that you believe to be true and established. So see, it's very important. It's not just saying it because people saying it, you say it. No. This means when somebody say La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, it means to inform about something that you know of and that you believe to be true and established. For example, somebody tell you, ask you about the rain, is it raining? Like, alhamdulillah, it's raining now. If somebody asks you, is it raining? What you say, Abdullah? Huh?
Yeah.
Why? How do you know? Because somebody else said it?
Because you look out to see.
Ahsan, you look out and you see it's raining, so you have knowledge, right, Idris? If somebody tell you, it's snowing right now, you tell them yes? Is it snowing? Okay, Barakallahu Fik. Naam. So that is the meaning of this shahada, La ilaha illallah, in the Arabic language. In the Sharia, it has this meaning, to admit and to believe that none deserves worship except Allah alone, and He has no partners. That's what it means in Islam. In Islam, it means that the meaning of La ilaha illallah, to admit and to believe that none deserves worship except Allah alone, and He, Allah, has no partners. So by saying La ilaha illallah, we believe and affirm that none, no one deserves worship except Allah. We must stay steadfast upon this phrase and apply it. Because only Allah creates. Allah has nobody to help Him to create the heavens or the earth or the mountains or us or the animals, okay? A human being, you need help sometimes, right or wrong. You want to do a job, one person cannot do it by himself. It's too much, too heavy, too expensive. Alright? So he needs other people to help him. Even sometimes a little table like this, one person cannot move it by himself. He may need the help. One person from this end, the other person from the other end. A little table. A fridge. Can somebody pick up a whole fridge on his back and put it in a truck for people they move in? No. So you find like four people trying to get their fridge, and it's difficult for them, right? What about the heavens and the earth? Look how huge. Allah maintains the heavens from falling, maintains the mountains. Allah maintains the oceans. And Allah feeds everybody, provide food and drink for us, for the animals, everywhere, not just... Look, you, alhamdulillah, here we have, in the backyard, we have the bird feeder. And you know, how many birds eat over there, who knows, maybe 100 a day, maybe more or less. Allah feeds millions, billions of, Allah knows the numbers actually, of the birds that they eat every day. And the ocean, the fish, who go and fish, feed the fish in the oceans? None of us. Allah feed them. What about the animals in the savanna and in the forest? Allah feed them. Allah provide them food. And Allah provide food for us too. Yes, it's true, I go to the market and buy it. And your mother cook it. Jazahallahu khairan wa barakallahu fiha. And you guys help too sometimes. MashaAllah. But still, that food in the market, where it came from? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? From Allah. Because Allah allow it to grow in the earth. Allah sent down the rain. Because if Allah didn't allow that vegetable or fruits or meat to grow, there will be no food. So we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. And Allah does all this by Himself. Nobody help Allah or create anything or provide for anybody, okay? So therefore we must worship Allah alone without associating any partner with Him. That's why Allah alone deserves to be worshipped, because He alone create, He alone give us our lives, give us the air we breathe, fresh air we breathe, the fresh water we drink, the variety of food we eat and the like. Therefore, we must worship Allah alone without associating any partner with Him. Allah Almighty says, فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك. سورة محمد chapter 47 verse 19. So know that لا إله إلا الله, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, should have knowledge of this and ask forgiveness for your sins. Other ahadith give a similar meaning, and the Islamic nation agreed that the two testimonies, which is I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are the first pillar of Islam. Shahadatain are the first pillar of Islam, and upon them actions are based, meaning that no deed is accepted without them. The imams of hadith, they related that the Prophet ﷺ said, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسٍ. بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسٍ. شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَصَوْمِ رَمَضَانِ والحج لمن استطاع إليه سبيلا. That Islam is built on five. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Islam is built on five. To bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is number one. Number two, the establishment of the prayer. To establish the prayers. And as the ulama, they say, to establish the prayers, meaning you have to fulfill the conditions, the pillars, obligatory elements, you pray in time and all that. Number three, giving the zakats. Number four, fasting the month of Ramadan. And number five, al-hajj, pilgrimage to Mecca, for whoever is able to bear the journey, whoever can make hajj. No. One great imam, his name Imam Badruddin Muhammad bin Abdullah Al-Zarkashi, who died in the year 794 after the Hijrah, he says, when we reflect on these five pillars, we should appreciate that each one of them deals with an important aspect related to man, and that each one makes up a strong and firm pillar in the house of Islam, a house that no one stays in except for the believer. Allahu Akbar. He gave a beautiful example. This is a house none stays in except the believer, the house of Islam. The phrase of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, therefore wholly engages the heart, while its effects surface on the limbs. The prayer uses all limbs. It is the strong and firm link between the creature and his creator. As the Salat. A Muslim's relation to other Muslims is solidified through the rich giving to the zakat to the poor. A person is comprised of a soul and a body of purity and desire. If man were left to himself, he would stray far away from Allah, which is why Allah legislated fasting for us. When we fast, our soul is cleansed and polished. After the heart has been filled with faith and after wealth is distributed as Allah wishes, time comes for the societal ties to be strengthened in Islamic world, and that occurs during their huge national conference during Hajj, when Muslims come from all places and gather. We can also view the pillars from another perspective. The Shahadatain is a test for the heart. The prayer is a test for the limbs and for a Muslim's ability to organize himself and his time. Zakat is a test for man in his wealth. The fast is a test to see how much one is able to leave his desires for the sake of his Creator and Lord. And the Hajj is a test to see how much one is able to bear hardship and difficulties of traveling in the way of Allah. Allahu Akbar. These are beautiful statements. See this, the ulama, the scholars, they help us to understand clearly. Okay? These are the pillars of Islam. What do the pillars of Islam benefit us with? It's beautiful. The first pillar, it has to do with the hearts. The second pillar, with your limbs, because when you pray, you watch certain limbs, you move them and the like. The third pillar, zakat. And the salat, organize your time. Because you always look at the clock, oh, I gotta pray, mashallah, alhamdulillah. So let me do this before the prayer, I can do this after the prayer. He give you an order in your life. And you know, as we all know, when you have a schedule, things go in order. But if you don't have no schedule, man, it's a mess. Right or wrong? That's why, look, in schools, they say you gotta come at this time, and then from this hour to this hour, you're gonna do math. At this hour, you do Arabic. At this hour, you do history, and likewise. Organize, schedule. Likewise, in a job, at work, they have shifts. These people, they come in the morning, these people come in the afternoon, these people come in the evening, and everybody work in the departments. Likewise, the Salat, it helps us that our life be in order. The Zakat brings a lot of good between the community. Because those who have money, they help out those who don't have money. And there is a lot of benefits in this. Because those poor people now, alhamdulillah, they have things for their families. And they continue to make dua for the rich. Oh Allah, give him Jannah. So it's good for the rich people to give zakat. Actually, it's wajib, it's obligatory upon them, but for those who think, why I'm going to give my money? Because Allah, who give it to you, command you to give a little bit of it, not all of it, only little bit of it. And there is a lot of benefits. You give it to the poor people. Maybe some of the people that they get that money, maybe they're very righteous people. All they do is, mashallah, read Quran all day. They fast some days. And they make a lot of dua for you in the salat. That's good. And as for fasting, because fasting helps the person check his heart and his soul and polish them and purify them from desires and from this dunya. And the Hajj is a great opportunity when Muslims, because Muslims, they are a family. Regardless, Chinese, Koreans, Japanese, Indians, Pakistani, Arabs, non-Arabs, white, black, rich, poor. It's all, we're a family of Muslims. Nobody is better than nobody except by taqwa. Allah says, "Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum." The most honorable of you with Allah Those who have taqwa, those who apply Islam correctly for the sake of Allah, that's what makes difference. White people are not superior to black, nor black are superior to white. Arabs are not superior to other than Arabs just because they are Arabs. Okay? And the like. Or the people who have money, they must be better than the poor just because they have money. No. What makes the difference is how a person is righteous. They worship Allah, they fear Allah, they apply the deen of Allah. That's what really makes the difference. So the Hajj, people come all together, alhamdulillah, and they meet each other. They like, because some people, they may be in one area, only, for example, only Chinese. And then they came to Hajj, they see, people from Europe, from America, from Africa, from other countries. And they like, subhanallah, it's a lot of Muslims from everywhere. And you make you happy, you're like, Allahu Akbar, Islam is everywhere. Alhamdulillah. Now we're going to talk about the status of La ilaha illallah. How do you know the status of La ilaha illallah? In Adhan, for example, when they call to prayer, when they strengthen the rows for prayer, during their sermons and conversations, Muslims announce the phrase of Tawheed on all of those occasions. La ilaha illallah. It is the phrase by which the earth and the heavens are raised. All of creation is created for this phrase, La ilaha illallah. And with it, Allah sent His messengers, revealed His books, and legislated His laws for Tawheed. The scale and book of deeds have been set up for it on the Day of Judgment. By this phrase, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, we distinguish between the believers and the disbelievers. And concerning the phrase of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, all will be asked and held accountable for their deeds, some being rewarded and some punished. All because of La ilaha illallah. Now, on the Day of Judgment, everyone will be asked regarding two matters. Two matters. Everybody. Number one, whom did you worship? Whom did you worship? Number two, how did you answer the messengers? Because Allah sent messengers to the people. But the last messenger and the last prophet is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After him will come no prophet nor messenger. So Allah will ask every one of us, whom did you worship? What is the right answer? Na'am, Abdullah.
Allah.
Allah, Ahsant. How did you answer the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Meaning, did you follow him or not? Na'am.
We follow.
Ahsant, Idris. We follow him. May Allah grant us tawfiq to follow him. Ameen. The first is answered by the realization of one knowing, affirming, and applying La ilaha illallah. You gotta know it, affirm it, and apply it in your life. The second is answered by knowing, following, and obeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we gotta obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? This is very important. If he wants to be in the Jannah. Because in the Day of Judgment there is only two places, right? What are they?
The Jannah and the Hellfire.
Ahsant. The Jannah and the Hellfire. What is one of those places is a good place and the other one is not good at all. What is a good place? Naam Abdullah.
Jannah.
What is the place that is no good? Naam.
Jahannam.
Ahsant. But if he wants to make it to the Jannah, what we should do? Obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, you obey your parents, because who tell you to obey the parents? Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you obey the parents, you're obeying Allah. And if you obey Allah in your life, mashallah, Allah will be happy with you. And Allah allow you into the Jannah. And you be saved from the hellfire. So you know the importance of obeying your parents now? All of you? So don't you just like, why me? Because if you don't do it, now you're just doing bad thing for yourself, right or wrong? So whatever you are doing, if your parents say do this, do it the right way. Unless if you're sick, unless if you are, talk to them, say, I want to do it, but I can't do it right now because I'm in pain, I don't feel too good, stuff like that. But you have to be truthful, because Allah knows what's in your mind, what's in your heart. No lies, I don't feel good because you don't want to do your chores or something like that. This understood? It is the phrase that distinguishes between disbelief and Islam. It is the phrase of piety, meaning La ilaha illallah. It is the firm rope, the rope of Allah. And it is the phrase that Ibrahim alayhi salam made lasting among his offspring. Allah tells us in Surah, Az-Zukhruf, chapter 43, verse 28. وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And he, meaning Ibrahim alayhi salam, made it, this statement of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, and he made it word lasting among his offspring, that they may turn back to repent to Allah, and to do that which is right by worshipping only Allah and continue to do that until they die upon it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified to this phrase Himself, and so did the angels and those who have knowledge from His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 18. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. Allah bears witness that لا إله إلا هو, none has the right to be worshipped but He, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angels, they bear witness to that too. And those having knowledge also give this witness. He is always, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always, not just sometimes. Allah always, He is always maintaining His creation in justice. La ilaha illa huwa. None has the right to be worshipped but He, the Almighty, the All-Wise. Allahu Akbar. Remember when I told you that Allah maintained His creation by Himself? And Allah does it all time. Can you count all the creation of Allah? That's impossible. That's impossible. But Allah does this. Every day, every night, every morning, afternoon, every single moment, Allah maintains all of the creation. There is a lot of creations we don't even know, ikhwan. Right? Well, all we know, we look at ourselves with the creation. Animals, birds, insects, fish, trees. But then there is so much that we don't know. But Allah does this. And He's able to do it. And He's not tired of doing it. And He needs no help. Sometimes if your mother is sick, for example, or the father lose his job, so now it's a problem. Right or wrong? It's a big problem. Some families, when they don't have money, they find themselves in the street. They lose the house because they can't pay rent anymore. They're hungry because they have no food, right? And they may get sick because they're outside in the rain, in the cold. You need to thank Allah for all these things. You have a house, the heat is on, you eat, alhamdulillah. You're not in the streets. So this, you gotta give thanks to Allah. Alaysa kadhalik? Right or wrong? But Allah does this by Himself. He maintains everybody, all of His creation, alhamdulillah. So we should love Allah, because Allah does a lot of good things for us. Right, Idris? We love Allah more than anything else. Because Allah does all these beautiful things. Because what are we going to breathe if Allah take His air away? We die, right? What are we going to drink if Allah doesn't send the rain? Nothing. No water, no life. You can't live without water neither. No beautiful trees, no beautiful flowers, no butterflies, no birds. Nothing. No water, no oceans, no fish. SubhanAllah. Nothing. No food. Can we live with no food? It's like a car. Can a car turn on without gas? No. Likewise, our fuel and gas is food and drink. Without food and drink, we die. Alhamdulillah. So we need to thank Allah for all these things, okay? Remember these things. The last thing we're going to take today, inshallah, and then we may continue next class tomorrow, the virtues of La ilaha illallah. What is the good things about La ilaha illallah? It has many virtues and superior merits that give it a high status. Whoever says it sincerely, Allah makes him enter paradise. Okay? Whoever says it sincerely, Allah makes him enter paradise. Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab, this is one of the great scholars of Islam. Try to remember their names, okay? These are our scholars. These are the scholars of Islam, of Sunnah. Because the people of Bid'ah and innovations and desires, the wrong ones, the deviant sects, they have their own pillar. People, they said, they scholars, but they are not scholars. The true scholar is the one who followed the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the first place, and their tabi'een and atba' al-tabi'een and whoever followed upon that good. So this great scholar Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentioned some of the many virtues of this phrase La ilaha illallah in his book Kalimatul Ikhlas, the statement of sincerity. One of its virtues is that it is the price for entering paradise. When one's last words are La ilaha illallah, he enters paradise. Because we have a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this point. When one's last words in this dunya, mean before he died, he says La ilaha illallah and died, that person will enter paradise. It also protects one from the fire of hell, from the hellfire. La ilaha illallah necessitates forgiveness, wipes away sins. Nah. La ilaha illallah wipes away sins. And it is the best of good deeds. La ilaha illallah is the best of good deeds. It breaks through all barriers until it reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the best phrase ever spoken by the prophets. It is the best form of remembrance. It is the best deed and the deed most multiplied. Allahu Akbar. Saying it, meaning saying La ilaha illallah, is equivalent to freeing slaves, and it protects one from the shaitan. See, these are the benefits of La ilaha illallah. So we should increase it, say La ilaha illallah all time. It is safety from the terrors of the day of gatherings, meaning all the hardship on that day of judgment. And it is the slogan of the believers when they will be raised from their graves. For whoever speaks it, the 8 doors of paradise are opened for him. He enters whichever one he pleases. Another one of its virtues is that those who say it but also do evil deeds may enter the hellfire, but they will necessarily exit from it. They will necessarily exit from it. Of course, this great Sheikh, after mentioning these virtues, he went on and elaborate on them and explained them, rahimahullah. But mashallah, because of the nature of this class, we're not going to go into those details, inshallah. But these are the virtues of La ilaha illallah, the Tawheed, whoever died upon Tawheed. So we need to know, it's not just a statement to say La ilaha illallah, but you need to know what it means, what good it does to you. Don't you see sometimes people, they tell you, oh, you get to eat this and eat this. When you come to bread, eat a whole wheat, multigrain. Why? Oh, because he helps, he has fiber, he has this. Even in vegetable, they says, listen, eat less potatoes and eat more broccoli. Eat more, what else, help me out, green beans. Huh? No, man, all these things. Why? Because they tell you, they tell you, now these ones have more vitamins than this ones, and this one is better for your immune system, this is better for your blood, this, that, for your sight, for... SubhanAllah. Right? And you want to do that, you want to... Once you know the virtue of something, alhamdulillah, you want to have more of it. You want to, you know, do more of it. You wanna, mashallah, and you like it, like to have it. So likewise, it's not just okay to say La ilaha illallah, but once we know its virtue, what good it does to us in this life and especially in the hereafter, alhamdulillah, this way we do it right and we increase from it. Inshallah ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge from its proper sources, the Book of Allah, the sound Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to grant us the correct understanding of the Book and the Sunnah, the understanding of the Salaf al-Saleh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala soften our hearts and grant us sincerity in everything we say and what we do. May Allah keep us firm upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and cause us to die as Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our families and our children. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the Muslims, especially the weak ones, whenever they may be. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide the non-Muslims to Islam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us whenever we may be. Subhanaka Allahu bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.